You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts, and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
See if my AirPods will work.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're here. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists. Discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Mark Indelicato. He plays Damien in the HBO series Hacks, and we're going to be talking about the second season of the hit show, discussing literally taking the show on the road as the gang heads across America, his character's admiration for Gene Smart's Deborah, and perfecting background comedy within the series. Mark's also going to talk about the socio-cultural conversations that come up throughout the episodes and the show's queer representation, as well as working with Laurie Metcalf, who plays a character in a few of the episodes, too. So let's do it. Season 2 of Hacks. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Indelicato.
What's up, Kyle?
It's great to see you, man, and especially on such a great show. Everybody fell in love with it with the first season right out of the gates. And now the whole crew's on the road, right?
We're going back on the road. Well, we're going on the road for the first time, at least in Damien's experience with Deborah. So
right,
should be rich.
So what is the setup for this one? You know, what I wrote down was this feels like a season of a humble quest for just about everybody. I mean, how would you explain what's going on over the course of this one?
Well, when you leave us last season, you see that Ava sends a very, very revealing and scathing kind of expose about Deborah, and Deborah kind of like bombs at her show that, you know, they had been working the whole season to kind of prepare. But so I think that you're correct in saying that it's this humble quest, this really kind of humbling experience where both Ava and Deborah have been humbled in different ways, but they're obviously intertwined in the sense of Deborah ends up suing Ava. So, and then on top of that, you know, we're on the road. I think that it's also new for everyone involved, every single character. It's new for Damien, it's new for Deborah. Deborah hasn't done this in however many years, decades. I mean, Ava, it's her first time going on tour with Deborah. It's new for Marcus. You know, we bring someone like the character of Weed, Laurie Metcalf, into the fold. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that it's a humble quest, but it's also a jarring experience for everyone involved in different ways, I'm sure.
Becomes a nice road trip sort of show, you know, as sort of an aside to it all. Like, I like a good road trip movie, so this kind of plays into that as well.
Yes, yes. I mean, and also, you know, I think that there's also kind of comedy in calling it a humble quest when you see Deborah's lodgings on this tour bus. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous.
Right. Everybody but Ava, of course, gets the nice
exactly.
spot.
I mean, well, even, naturally.
Right, naturally. Even you've got the nicer spot, at least in comparison right there. So yeah. For Damien and how you're going about this, you know, obviously we're getting to see your character so much more this time around, which is great.
Yeah.
How you're interacting with Deborah, how you're interacting with David too, but you know, from Damien's point of view, I mean, having to cater to someone like Gene's character with Deborah here, you know, she isn't grounded in the same reality I think a lot of us are grounded in. Like when you're in that character, like what's going through Damien's mind as far as just having to keep up? Like, is this normal? Is this normal for Damien's world as well?
Well, I think that, you know, you can look at it from two different perspectives, right? I mean, I think from one perspective, I'm sure that he could probably be looking at this and be like, this woman is ridiculous. But I don't think that that's the way that he looks at it. I think that, you know, one of the things that I've realized, especially this season with Damien, even uttering just one line of like, I don't like comedy. Because one of the things that I was trying to kind of grapple with or locate last season, but it wasn't really pertinent to the like where Damien fit into last season, was like, what is it about Deborah that he likes? Is he a fan? Does he respect her as a businesswoman? Is it both? Is it just a job? And I think that what I like landed on this season, and I think that, you know, obviously with much help from the writers and from Paul Lucci and Jen, is that like Damien's work ethic is, you know, his work ethic game is strong. He cares a lot about his job and doing his job well. And I think that not only is that, I think that he respects that and admires that in Deborah. Deborah's a hustler. I think that Damien's kind of mania and dryness and you know, just kind of commitment to his job stems directly from his inspiration from Deborah, of like the ways in which she's kind of built this empire. So I think that, you know, it was great for me this season to read those lines of like, yeah, I don't like comedy, because then it was just like, oh, well, then he just respects Deborah as a businesswoman. And so I think that that's kind of where I stood in like kind of making Damien this season.
And it's amazing how much character development can be put in one line like that.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
Just that, as you're saying, I don't like comedy. Like, you get so much in so little.
His whole world opened up to me, really. I mean, I really didn't, because I also, you know, I could have gone to Paul and Lucia and Jen and asked about it, but I didn't really know at the time, like how to articulate what I was trying to ask. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you have the question in your head, but you like cannot, like it, you can't put it into words really. So, you know, I think that, yeah, just that one line really changed my entire view of like what Damien is doing there when I read it. And it lends itself then in, you know, subsequent episodes where I felt like, you know, Damien's having a little bit more fun in subsequent episodes. And I think that that stems directly just from, again, from that one line, I don't like comedy, when he tells Ava that. And that Ava kind of agrees with his rationale for it, which I also think is hilarious, because right. That also lends itself to not only like the character of Damien, but it also lends itself to kind of Damien and Ava leveling with each other for the first time. Because up until this point, up until that scene, you're only really getting that Damien has disdain for this girl. What the fuck is she doing here? Whatever, whatever. Deborah doesn't need her. Or that Damien just doesn't like her. No one really knows. But, you know, I think that just that scene of Damien and Ava talking, they really do level with each other, where he's like, yeah, I don't like comedy. And she's like, you're right. The reason why is kind of right. So I think that that was... you know, really pivotal scene for me just reading this season before we start shooting it.
And those moments come along. I mean, later up, you know, we find out Damien's the type of person who knows Stevie Wonder, but doesn't know some of the most obvious things about Stevie Wonder.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I think, you know, ask me to explain how and why. I don't really think I could give you a—
well, that's comedy answer. Right? That's—
it's, yeah, it's just, I mean, I just think that it's hilarious. But I mean, if you really wanted to analyze it, I mean, I guess it could be that he's just, you know, he's laser focused in on what his world is, I think, very small. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't think that he's, you know, I don't think that he's as cultured at, you know, I don't think that he's very cultured. I don't think that Damien listens to music. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I don't think that Damien, like, let alone know about like music history. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that Damien has it. Like, if you were like, what's your favorite artist? Like, I don't think that Damien has one.
That's again, says so much about that. Like, cause you, correct, might, you might know that Stevie Wonder exists. You might know that Stevie Wonder, you know, plays a piano.
Well, yeah, but he's always just wearing sunglasses. That's right. His aesthetic. It's his thing.
you mentioned, I think, before in some other interviews that also it's just Damien's also in this state of panic. Just like, yes, a constant state of panic.
Yeah.
And always running. Like, and for you, yeah, I'll ask candidly, like, how many miles have you picked up? And like, what's the step, you know?
Listen, I am so out of shape. So, you know, when we were shooting the bit with the running, you know, luckily, you know, Damien is in very comfortable clothing, you know, like those penny loafers are real comfortable, you know, they got that nice, you know, foam sole or whatever. So that wasn't difficult. I think that what was more difficult with the physical comedy aspect of Damien this season with the mania is when he's breaking down the seamless in the background of Ava and Deborah talking. And it just said in the script, like, Damien breaks down a seamless, and Lucia was just kind of like, we're going to see you. Like, we're going to position Jean and Hannah like in between, and we're going to see you. So keep struggling with it. And so I really went for it. And in one of the takes, I fell. And after we cut, Lucia, I remember, came up to me and was like, really sucks, because that's super funny and you're gonna have to fall in every single take now. So, and you know, it ended up making it into the show, so like it's all fine. But I think that that was something that was also really fun, because I, you know, with Damien, one of the things that I also have like not struggled with but have been contemplating is like, how do you be in a scene without saying anything? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, like, what Damien is doing is you know, in the background of a scene, but it's totally visible. So how do you pay respect to the scene at hand and not take away from it, but really add to it? And I think that, you know, that kind of breaking down of the seamless scene was something where I kind of was like, oh, this is how you like do it. You know what I mean? Where it wasn't like he was throwing it up in the air and do, you know, whatever, but it was just big enough. And again, that stems directly from guidance from Paul, Lucci, and Jen. I mean, it's just like incredible.
Yeah, the background comedy stuff, like, I don't, like, nothing comes to mind. Like, you don't see that very often anymore. It reminds me a lot of like the like 80s style movies would, yeah, have a lot of that background comedy going on there, you know, yeah, where it's got to be fun to play with, I would imagine, too.
It's super fun to play with, and it's super fun to play with, especially when you know that, you know, the people in charge, the powers that be, want you to play with it. You know, I think that in the first season, there were a lot more opportunities for me to do exactly that, but I was so nervous about shooting the season, like the first season, just because I was in awe of this kind of cast that I was getting to work with, you know, the writers and the people, you know, that are involved in the show and making the show. And so I don't think that I really kind of took those risks or like acted, you know, in the way that maybe I could have. I you know, there were like lost opportunities for me. And so like this season, I really wanted to kind of, just for myself even, you know, lean into that and you know, be as present as possible. as Damien.
Those moments, they do. They make so much of an impact. And it's got to be pointed out, of course, the balance that you all are pulling off here, because you do get comedy, but you're doing a lot of important work at the same time. I mean, I think about, of course, you can look at Deborah and Ava's relationship, and this is one of the most complicated relationships, I think, that's been put on screen. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody's having their version of a complicated relationship with each other as you go out. I mean, and again, as you said, props to the writers of the show for just doing such an amazing balancing act. How are the conversations before you get into this as you're talking? Because it feels like tightrope's not the right word. But if, you know, to be able to hit that with everybody in such a specific way, I mean, how much prep goes into this?
I mean, I think that there's a lot of, I think that there's a lot of individual prep that we all do. I think I can speak for everyone in terms of just like, doing their homework before we go to work.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
But again, I really do feel, I'm sure I sound like a broken record, but I feel like the scripts and the story are so incredible and the words are so good that, you know, it really jumps off the page, at least for me, you know, where it's like you're reading these scripts and seeing these kind of complicated relationships either flourish or deteriorate or, you know, having really difficult kind of sociocultural conversations. And it's all really on the page for you. And also on top of that, of it just being good writing, there's a sense of intention there. Like I don't think that they're trying to have these conversations or write these conversations into the show as a means of checking off any particular box of like, we're going to talk about queerness today. We're going to talk about ageism today. Like, I think that Paul, Lucia, Jen, the writers, everyone are truly invested in truly analyzing and examining these stories, these tropes, these stereotypes, and doing it in a creative way. And also, I think that, you know, having very difficult conversations in the context of comedy is also, I believe, makes having difficult conversations or debates more palatable. You know, if you can have them in the context of comedy, I just think that it's harder to have them in the context of comedy because it's hard to make these things funny, which they managed to do. And so I think that that's really the, like, where I at least see the crux of, like, you know, the kind of, I don't know, the subtext of the show. I mean, we're talking about really big things.
Yeah, I think you pointed out before, and it was sort of one of those little mind explosion moments when I realized what I was looking for, because I think you had said, like, almost every single character is queer, but no one's doing like a coming out story.
No.
Like, these are people living their lives. And I think that might be, you know, one of the, I don't know if I want to say most important, but it feels like one of the most important things that they could have done for the storyline for this, because it's just the relation. I don't know if you could talk more about that, because it's such an important point of the storyline.
Well, I think that it's also a testament. I mean, you know, what I will say to preface this is like, what I'm going to say is that, like, you know, the kind of trauma coming out narratives are important, because if we're talking about representation, you know, a lot of queer people's lived experiences are based in trauma of being, you know, kicked out of their homes, not accepted, experiencing things like homelessness and, you know, and so those stories are quite important to tell. I'm not saying that we should eradicate them by any means. They're extremely integral to, you know, representation of the queer experience, right? But I think that there's also, you know, this other side of like queer people who are successful and well-adjusted and out and proud and also well-read on, you know, the kind of complexities of their identity. And I think that all of that stuff, you know, as a gay man, you know, I've done a lot of that work like on my own, and that like things that I hold dear to me that I've done on my own regarding my identity and my queerness. And so I think that the lack of kind of talking about these characters' queerness, unless it's in the context of like Ava and Deborah, like talking about bisexuality, that I think is not necessarily just about queerness. That's about like, you know, intergenerational kind of like dialogue and discourse, which is, I think, the most important thing that they've done this season. But I think that, you know, the kind of, if you want to call it like silence on, you know, even a character like Damien, like, I don't think it's until like the last episode of this season where Damien mentions going to a gay bar. Like up until, and when I read the script for Damien, it just said Deborah's assistant. He was not meant to necessarily be queer. I just played him as such. And that was the way that they ended up going. But I don't recall seeing like, you know, we're looking for queer, like he's a queer character. So I think that, you know, that also is a testament to just like how invested the entire team has been in like championing queer artists and like queer artistry. Because some characters that I wouldn't even necessarily consider, like Damien, I'll just speak for Damien, is like, wasn't necessarily meant to be queer. That wasn't in the script for them. So originally, at least as far as I know. And so that's really cool. And I think that, yeah, I mean, I think that just kind of not, it's not even like they're treading lightly. It's just like, these are just well-adjusted people, period, who are good at their jobs and they happen to be queer. What's the big deal? It's kind of like, it's the real life. I mean, you know.
Right, right. And you mentioned the generational thing too. And that's also been some of the funniest points in there because, you know, one of the points I wrote down was about the when Jean thought Deborah thought she was a descendant of the Pilgrims, and she said she was had blood from the Pilgrims, and Ava makes a mention real quick. It's like, oh, I don't know that you should, like, seeing them figure that out about each other in the same way that I do with my parents, right? Or whoever. Yeah. You know, it's, I'm really interested to see, you know, how much they learn from each other on this one, and where they sort of end up landing by the end of it.
And they do, you know. I mean I think that like you said, I mean, you know, I'm having these conversations with family members who are not necessarily like, who I don't believe to be prejudiced. Like my father is not a bigot, you know, but like asking questions about non-binary people, it's something that's new for him. And so it's something that he doesn't have the, he didn't like go to a liberal arts college in this day and age and talk about, you know, gender theory, you know, and so it's completely foreign to him. And I don't think that he should be penalized for that. I think that asking questions and kind of meeting them where they're at as a means of like moving them forward, right? So I think that we're so polarized as a society at this point, rightfully so in a lot of ways, but at the same time, there are still spaces and contexts in which we need to be a bit more forgiving and a bit more patient as a means of really educating people. You know, I think that it's not necessarily my only responsibility just because I'm queer to educate people on the kind of the spectrum of queerness, but why not? I mean, if someone wants to have like a true conversation, like I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not going to go and like try and talk to a white supremacist about critical race theory. Like that's not going to happen. But if someone is actually willing and able to sit down and is curious to have a civilized and, you know, a conversation, then I'm more than happy to do that. And I think that more people should be, you know, willing and able to do that in a civilized manner. You know, I think that there's a lot of yelling that's going on these days. Again, rightfully so, it for certain things. But if, you know, we can't educate the masses by just screaming and yelling about it, at least the masses that want to know.
And as you mentioned, I mean, the fact that you guys are doing this through this lens of comedy is such a great way, a conversation starter for some people to a lot of degree. And I get that through all of this. I mean, I think, you know, it's, and I want to bring up, I kind of want to end on some comedy too, because you mentioned Laurie Metcalf. I saw Kyle Gass in there, you know, to have these people around. And everybody says, oh, it's such a fun environment. Sure. And I would imagine it is. But when the cameras go off, they're funny people living in the land of comedians. Does it continue to be sort of in that comedic world even after when people aren't in character?
Sure. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that there's also something to be said about like the generosity of these incredible people, like Gene, first and foremost, like Laurie Metcalf, Susie Essman, who's on this season as well, like who I'm such a huge fan of. I mean, I grew up watching Laurie like on reruns of Roseanne with my mom on a Saturday morning. You know, it's like, myself and Hannah, you know, all of us were truly, you know, jazzed about being in the presence of these incredible comedians and actors. And like, I think that they're also, at least, you know, everyone that I've worked with on the show, like Laurie and Susie and of course, you know, Gene, just in general, like are so generous with their time and their talent and their experiences. And I think, and they really, they kind of, at least from what I gathered, like loved telling us these stories about the, you know, earlier in their career when they were, you know, my age or Hannah's age, or, you know, they really enjoy that. And again, you know, how could you not enjoy when like someone younger than you is coming up to you genuinely interested about like how you got to where you are and truly admire you? Because there was not a day where I was just like, I need to soak up every single second of like sitting next to Laurie Metcalf when we're waiting to like for another shot. I need to ask her things. I need to talk to her, you know? And so there was a sense of just genuine excitement from both sides, like where these amazing guest stars, all of them that have come on to the show this season, have come on and just been like, we're so stoked to be here. We loved the first season. But then in turn, all of us are like, you know, the younger castmates are just like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're here. Like, this is fucking insane. You know, I mean, like there's like a still that they sent me of me standing next to Laurie in a scene. And I was just like, this is wild. Like, I can't believe that, you know, that, cause when you're shooting it, it's just kind of like, go, 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 go. You like, let's just, you know, do this. But upon reflection, it's like, God damn, like I really got to work with Laurie Metcalf. That's awesome. You know,
that ain't nothing right there. That's pretty great.
It's incredible. And I mean, I think that like, we all really pinch ourselves every day, you know, getting to just work with Gene, because Gene is Gene. But, you know, I think that this season, watching Gene and Laurie interact with each other on camera, being able to be in some of those scenes is like, it's like watching a masterclass. It taught me a lot, just from observation, and just from being there in the room.
Well, Mark, you know, obvious to say to me, but congratulations on being a part of this series, and with love as well. I know you got another second world going on there too. And it's just, I mean, having two work families, I guess has got to be kind of amazing in itself.
But, Very grateful.
Yeah, but especially Hack Season 2, it's so good. And I love getting to see you more on this. So, Mark, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about
it. Thanks, Kyle.
My thanks to Mark and Delicato. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode and the series. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, occasionally Facebook and Instagram. All three of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
My queen.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big.